Hey, this is Ryan Leary and William Tin Cup, and it is.
Is it Ryan Leary?
Dude, what are you doing? You can't laugh. What are you doing?
You're supposed to,
I just
usually,
put your name first.
Usually people say their name first.
Yeah.
Okay, this is William Tin Cup. Look, I just see Ryan Leary.
They can see the two people. It's not like we have someone hidden.
Hey, you called me off guard. All right, we'll shut up.
All right. Hey, this is William Tin Cup and Ryan Leary. This is The Barf. It's April 7th, Sunday. Hopefully we can prepare you for next week by looking back at this previous week on news and acquisitions and research and funding and all kinds of fun stuff. We've got a lot of great stories to pitch each other. If you're not familiar with the show, basically Ryan and I pitch each other kind of things that we saw this week. So during the week, we kind of keep track of stuff that we see thinks pretty cool and all work related, or we'll tie it back to what we think is work related. We do a little bit of editorial, and then I also try to give you the links to where these things are so that you can go and do your own research and come to your own conclusions as well. So
translation is we find things that we feel are interesting.
That's right.
And that's try right. to make it useful for work.
100%. 100%. I think that's, yeah. We should just drop that in ChatGPT and see if they can shorten that down to like four words.
See what it says. So a funny story real quick. I know you always mention John Oliver with this, right? It's our John
yes.
Oliver show. I've seen him a few times here and there.
Right.
But I saw I guess he did a show on gig workers. Part of his thing was on gig workers, and somebody had brought up and said, you need to listen to this, because they were arguing that DoorDash is bad, you know, all this stuff. He uses a laugh track.
Yeah. I think he does that. I believe that's out of sarcasm.
It annoyed the hell out of me. It really
well, if you go back to any of the shows from the 80s, they all have laugh tracks.
But
and
it's 2023, 2024.
I think it's ironic. Maybe that's the bit. It's not maybe not sarcasm. Maybe it's more on irony.
I couldn't get through it. All I could hear is ha ha ha. Hold on. Actually, I think we have one here. Yeah, it's basically what it sounded like.
Dude,
so anyway, he was talking about DoorDash and how it's bad for restaurants, and I fully disagree with this. Because they have to pay a fee. Well, everyone has to pay a fee. It's a software. You got to support it and pay for it and all that.
Turns
so
out,
anyway,
if you don't want to leave your house, but you want that food, you know that's not hurting anybody.
I've ordered from.
Yeah.
A number of restaurants that I would never have gone to.
Right.
Ever. So if they're getting 75% of my order value to the restaurant, that's 75% more than they would have ever got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I would have never heard of them if it didn't show up in the app. And two, I'm probably not driving 10 miles to go get it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true of like specialty restaurants. Like there's a great Lebanese restaurant close to us. And it was there when I was in high school. It's called The Prince, and it's Lebanese food. I've driven past this place thousands
and you never
of times.
Go.
And Michael, my wife ordered from it and she loves it. So, you know, it's like, again, to your point, I think the specialty restaurants in particular, they get an uptick in business from people that would have never cared or found anything, gotten those customers. So, yeah, I think that's just a dumb take. But that's okay. Not all things are great.
All right.
What do you got?
A story. I want to kick off here.
Do it.
So I don't really have a thought here. So I'll leave it to you to give a thought.
Sure.
Well, I've got some thoughts, but I'll leave it to you. Transgender Chick-fil-A workers sexual harassment case may go to trial. I got two for this. And Yee is once again accused of racial discrimination and anti-Semitism. So this whole thing with Chick-fil-A, so we've done Subway, we've done who are the other ones?
A lot of hourly
stealing
worker.
Tips and stealing tips and sexual harassment and all of this stuff. Anyway, the franchise owner has unsuccessfully argued that the worker couldn't be subjected to sexual harassment by her coworkers because she is heterosexual.
Yeah, that's a weak argument.
Yeah, so I need to leave this to you because I just think it's asinine, number one. The fact that it may go to trial because of this.
It should go to trial. If there's something trial worthy, let's make sure we say that. If you go to McDonald's and coffee spills on you, coffee's hot, turns out. So like not everything should end up in the legal
that
system.
Case actually did go.
I know.
A long time ago.
They had to put on lids. Coffee is hot. Is hot. I'm like, this is just a fucking dumbing of America. If you don't know that coffee's hot, you probably shouldn't live. I think with transgender in particular, I think first of all, harassment's harassment, and we should have zero tolerance for that in the workplace. And if this was sexual harassment, even more egregious, if you will. And it doesn't matter what her gender is or his or whatever the gender
harassment's
is.
Harassment.
Doesn't matter.
So the definition of workplace harassment, I'm going to read this because it's pretty clear. Workplace harassment occurs when there is unwelcome conduct based on race, color, religion, sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, or pregnancy, national origin, older age, disability, or genetic information, according to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
EEOC. Yep. Yeah. Straight up. Been that way for, they've added some things to it, but it's been that way for as long as I can remember, actually.
Is what it is. And yeah, I don't know what's going on with Diddy, but he's back in the news. So those guys taking over the news again.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with work. Well, I guess technically it could.
Yeah, it's technically work. It's sex work.
That is true. That is true.
My bad. Anyhow, it's a horrible story. And hopefully it doesn't end up being the, you know, more like Jeffrey Epstein than not. So, Employ, which the audience would know as a lot of different companies, JobVite, Lever, Jazz HR, they have a brand new CEO. Steve Cox has just been brought in. He's got 25 years of experience. Not only a new CEO, but once you dig into it, they brought in they have a new board chairman. So what I think this is K1 is which is the P. Firm that's behind Employ is cleaning up all the acquisitions.
Right.
And it might take a year or two for them to kind of get things together, but I think this is a really good sign.
Yeah.
Bring in a new CEO. They don't have any of the baggage of, like, Pete was the CEO of Jazz HR.
Right.
So, you know, and he, great guy. I mean, you and I talked to him in January, just a wonderful person. But now you take somebody from the outside who's got seasoned experience, maybe not doesn't know the market as much. Who cares?
Yeah.
Now they can look at things in an objective way and go prune that, add this, don't do that. You know. So I think it's going to be a good thing. I don't know if we're going to see it right away, but I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And they did acquisition a couple of years now. Those are a couple of years, and they've been running, and time to clean it up. So I've got an OSHA story.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you saw this, but OSHA, so the walker, it's called the walk around rule.
Yeah.
So this is essentially the classic case of workplace retaliation is what this is helping to prevent, right? So this sucks at work. Okay, you're not getting promoted, right?
Right.
You give a tip, you blow the whistle, you get smacked somehow, some way, or at least the fear of retaliation, right? So I think this is what this is. This is a classic case of workplace retaliation and helping to prevent that on job sites. And so we just spoke with what's his name? We haven't released the episode yet.
Your story.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember. So anyway, we spoke.
This will definitely be edited out.
No, I'll leave it in.
Okay.
I'll leave it. All right. No, we were speaking about workplace safety, right? So anyhow, this is they're now employees. You're making me crazy here. So employees are allowed to bring third parties, have a third party present during walkarounds for safety walks.
Okay.
And so now they have a way, one, to have a third party present, safety person present to see what's going on in the workplace. And this is any workplace, but my example is, and I see this a lot in construction, but also a way to anonymously leave that tip, which exists in a lot of companies today, but this now formalizes that process to help prevent.
I like that.
Yeah, to help prevent retaliation.
Anything that prevents retaliation, good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
All right. Indeed launches AI-powered product called Smart Sourcing, designed to make hiring faster. This can be found on cxotoday.com, or it can be found in many places. So think of candidates as perishable goods. Smart Sourcing is kind of what it does is it actually helps both the candidates and the recruiters and their frustration levels, to be quite honest. Things are slow, et cetera. Matches aren't great. Anyhow, we've tested it out. It's fast. It's accurate. Great move for Indeed and great move for those two groups of people.
Yeah, what I like about this play here is a lot of people lump Indeed as like the old guy.
Right.
They've been around forever.
Right.
And they do a lot of innovative stuff that they don't necessarily come out and say, "Hey, look at what we're doing." And this is one of those things where it's this gets us out of keyword matching.
Right.
So we talked about this previously where there's a subset of a large subset of recruiting that enters keyword, wants results.
Right.
This now there are other tools out here that do things like this. This just happens to be Smart Sourcing through Indeed, which has I think it was fantastic. Just seeing what we saw,
sitting on 300 million plus profiles.
That's a lot of data. Yes,
so that's a lot of data. So
it's
you can
matching
get a better...
and pulling and learning all of that. Absolutely. I think it's a win. I think it's something to certainly look out for.
All right. Go ahead.
You got another one? You want to go for another? Go
yeah,
for
I want to go for a couple of them. All right. So this is a first of all
you
term.
Don't want to hear my voice.
No.
Let me just go for a couple.
Yeah. I'll just kind of read my entire sheet. So this is a word that I wasn't familiar with. Femtech, not fin. Femtech. So the article is on Crunchbase, and it's the next frontier of femtech, which focuses on women's health and wellness. And then I started to kind of like, well, what's the population of women in America? It's 50.51. So let's just say 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can round it up to 51 if you want. So what I think this is, why I think this is important for us to think about is we're going to start seeing more wellness programs designed by women for women, which I think is really, really cool. And so femtech, get familiar with the term, and also start to look for those plays that are going to be coming to you in the form of wellness.
Yeah, this is interesting. I like, so younger Ryan would say, why can't it just be wellness? Right?
Yeah.
So
turns out.
Yeah. Older, experienced Ryan says, I'm okay with different groups of people.
100%.
And now that I think it's okay, it's okay. Like, I get that, right? It's accepted now. Different groups, it's okay for different groups of people to have different programs to help better that particular class or group of people.
100%.
And it's something that younger me, like I said, I mean, I was kind of like, well, why? Why do women need this? Or why do Jews need this? Or why do whites need this? Or blacks need this?
So I'll give you two examples that we... both of us probably at 18 wouldn't have even considered. Women are disproportionately impacted by insurance. Like their insurance costs more, which again is arguable as to why. But also the female biology is more complex than the male biology.
Right.
So, I mean, these are just facts. So, like, I think when you think of femtech, that, again, female founders creating technology for female customers, I just think it's a good thing. I think it helps everybody in the workforce.
No, absolutely. All right. ChatGPT. Yeah, I know it's overplayed at this point, but ChatGPT, so use is up. Okay.
Yep.
And essentially for those that are under the age of 30. So this is part of this is some of my AI assistant. Everyone's going to have an AI assistant theory that I bring up, kind of like my 4-day work week that we're never going to do. I think this supports that. And so I like the story. So on the surface, okay, this is just another goofy, cheesy ChatGPT buzzword-worthy story, right? Like, hey, we're using ChatGPT. But what's happening here is that – so the – and I'll drop the link in. I forgot where I found this. It's one of these stories, HR Dive maybe. Anyhow, 31% of those that are between 18 and 29 years old said that they've used ChatGPT last month.
Yeah, in last 30 days.
For work-related tasks, to help them complete a work-related task. So I think we talk about this all the time. And I know sometimes stories can be stretched to fit certain things. But I think this is really starting to show, and we know this, but I think it's starting to show that the workplace is fundamentally changing. Because as the age of the employee gets higher, the use of technology and the use of AI-assisted technology drops significantly into the teens. And so I think what this is showing us is that the workplace is changing, the technology in the workplace is changing, and you're going to have to jump on this wagon here to support your employees, especially your younger employees that are now growing up in your company.
I'll say something relatively bold. If you're not using ChatGPT for work, no. If you're not using it for work right now, you should probably be fired.
Like or a form of Gen AI, I should say. Like something.
Again, if you're not using already, you're already dated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're already used. There's an inefficiency to your time. Like when your boss asks you, hey, that meeting was great. Can you summarize that for me? If you're not throwing that into ChatGPT, mm-hmm. kicking it out, sending it to them, then you should be fired. Period. End of story. Like, not all salmon make it up the river.
Yeah. How far in the way? We're about 20 minutes in. Okay, so I can tell this story because I know my wife won't listen this far if she listens at all.
Alex, that's a great start.
Swim team board. We sit on the swim team board, right?
Right.
We have board meetings. She's the secretary and has the notes.
Right.
She sits there and reads the notes.
Oh.
And summarizes the notes and does the notes and then types them in. So, like, will you give me the goddamn notes? Stick them in. Like, use Zoom. We're on Zoom for the call, right? So use Zoom AI, use Fathom or Firefly, something. Stop spending 3 hours, literally 3 hours, going through the notes and trying to remember this and. Just use the system. Use the tech to get it done.
Done.
I don't know. All right. I'm jumping ahead, but I've got an acquisition to run through. So CareerArc acquires a recruitment video platform, Lumina.
Yep.
So not to be confused with Lumina, my webcam technology, but Lumina, the video company. So I love the people at CareerArc. I love when companies acquire other companies or integrate other companies and tech into their current tech to make it better. I'm not sure on this. I think it's going to be good for them. Let me just say, it's going to be good. Yes.
Okay.
Said, stated, done, all that good stuff.
Right.
But why just now? Video I don't think video, and I know I'll get hate for this, I don't think video is the now like it was in 2015.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Hey, the acquisition gets you customers of Lumina. They're bringing over the CEO from Lumina to run CareerArt.
Correct.
Yep. So talent B, or subpart C, is CareerArt is known, pretty well known, is social recruiting, but they're not known for video recruiting. And what this does is it opens them up and their customers up to do recruiting via video, YouTube shorts, Instagram reels, TikTok, etc. So it just adds a couple more arrows to the quiver. Great acquisition.
Yes. So yes to all of that, and I agree. But what's next? Why? I feel like video is just.
They're not thinking about what's next. They're thinking about what can they do to expand the footprint in their customer base right now.
Right.
And they didn't grow up through the lens of video. They grew up with Twitter and Facebook, LinkedIn.
Right.
Kind of the usual suspects.
That was their thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. No. All right. Two news stories. Let me pitch you on the economic cost of the Baltimore Bridge collapse. How many jobs do you think were impacted by that bridge?
Impacted how? Like not being able to get to work and things like that?
Yep. All those things.
I'm going to say 30,000.
That'd be 140,000 jobs that are impacted. 140,000 jobs. So 140,000 jobs, it impacted those folks. You can find this on brookings.edu, and you can kind of get into the entire thing and how they justify their math. But it really made me think about when disasters happen, how often do we think of the impacts of jobs lost? Like we think about, the houses and the buildings and the stuff like that, but I don't know if I've ever thought about when a hurricane hits, like Hurricane Harvey hit Galveston and Houston, I don't think at any point during that I think of, I wonder how many jobs it's going to impact. So I think what I want for the audience, I want you to think about, it's an El Nino year. We're about to start hurricane season.
Yep.
Start thinking about those things and just add that to how you think about them. And so that's the bit. Just think about they did it with Baltimore Bridge. Great. Fantastic. That wasn't a natural disaster as we all know.
Right.
But disasters happen. Now let's start thinking about not just the economic impact, but the jobs impact. So
yeah, that's interesting. 140,000?
140K.
That's
a lot of people.
A lot. Yeah. That's it's a lot of travel, a lot of people moving on that bridge. Yeah.
Yep.
No, absolutely.
All right.
The different story, but similar, sort of. On the economy, the direct path of the eclipse. Did you see the economic?
Yes, I didn't see the numbers, but it goes over us. It goes over Dallas.
Okay. Yeah, so it's close. Well, I think we're going to get like 90%.
So we don't have to travel to see it.
No, it's a little over $1 billion. In economic value between, all those in that area, things, restaurants, selling, rentals, all of that stuff. Airbnb is completely sold out the entire stretch.
Yeah. So I'll get a little hate mail on this. I don't really care about eclipses.
Yeah.
I mean, my sons, they're going to go to school. They're going to go outside.
Yeah,
they've already had guest speakers talking about this shit. I don't.
Yeah.
An eclipse happens every year and a half to 2 years somewhere in the world,
right?
Not necessarily in Dallas, Texas, or on that path, whatever.
Right.
So, like, I get that bit, but I don't give a shit. Like, I just don't care about the eclipse. Like, okay, it happens. Yeah,
doesn't excite me.
It does. It's like watching paint dry. I mean, I've done this bit before. I remember when I did it when I was younger. I'm like, okay, the moon and then.
Well, the last one was a couple of years ago. We're out there with the glasses, and we're like, it's almost there.
Yeah, it's and 1.5 minutes that I'd rather have back in my life.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me give you another news story real quick. So, over 500,000 fast food workers in California just got a huge raise thanks to a new law that went into effect April 1st. And that is $20 minimum wage.
What? $20 yeah. minimum
Sorry,
wage?
Sorry, baby.
And well, where is this at?
Hey, California.
So they're still homeless.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Unless you're living inward, like Sacramento, that might work for you. But no. Anyway, the coast, but like when I read the story, first of all, you can find that on Yahoo Finance or finance.yahoo.com. And what I thought about is I'm like, okay, how soon does this hit pricing? So this is a cost. Cost just went up, right? Great. Check. Mm-hmm. We all get that. But how soon does the price of the burger goes up or the ice cream or whatever you're yeah. getting? They're going to have to recoup their costs. It's not like they're going to keep their costs the same. So, no,
and how willing is somebody to pay
100%
50 cents more for a burger? I'm not.
Which I'm not made alive. Me think of that Pulp Fiction bit. Where John Travolta is a $5 shake, which today doesn't seem like anything, but in 94, it was a big thing. So, and it's like, it's a $5 shake. And he's like, $5 shake, you know, that's crazy. And he tastes it and he's like, it's a pretty good shake.
Oh.
We're going to get like $20 hamburgers in California.
Yeah,
so,
that's...
anyhow.
The price of food changes how good it is. I got to say that.
Yeah.
Like, I can have a $30 steak somewhere and it's delicious. Then I go somewhere and it's $80. I'm like, not so good. Because
better be
I paid Wagyu. $80. Yeah. I paid $80. I don't care how good it is. I mean, it changes my thought.
See, I don't look at prices. So I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I order what I want and I just don't think about the price.
Then the it's bill like, comes and you're washing dishes.
Yeah, well, no. And I don't pay for a lot of stuff, so maybe that's why I don't do that. All right, I got two acquisitions I'll go through really quickly.
All right.
Since you already did the career arc one. This is ESOP, EASOP,
Equities,
acquired by
uh-huh.
Remote.
Yep. Love it.
So basically, think of compensation SAP for that for ESOP. And Remote, think of them as what this is going to do is facilitate equity management for international employees. So we've talked about Remote before, talked about it in funding and the things that they do. They help people all over the world be able to get paid. So there's that.
Yeah.
Now they can actually, with compensation software, they can do more than just pay. They can actually facilitate stock options and things like that.
Right.
So great. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, you know what? They could have built it. Why build it? Just go buy it. And so good for them and their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Second acquisition, ITA Group acquires Coolleaf to form industry-leading employment engagement solution. So you can find this at ITA Group. It's on their site. So it's press release.
Mm-hmm.
ITAgroup.com. So when you think of ITA Group, think employee engagement. And when you think Coolleaf, think rewards and recognition. So these things usually are separated.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done with this acquisition is brought those things together. And I think that this is going to be really good for their customers. Because what they're trying to do is reduce turnover and improve productivity. Now you've got it one place. So you remember last year we talked about how practitioners want less tech?
Yeah.
This is a great example of that bit. Okay, now if they're already an ITA Group customer, now they can do their rewards and recognition inside the same interface. So great acquisition.
Love it. Love it.
All right.
So,
you got any other acquisitions or are we on to the R?
No, I've got another. I want to talk about UPS real quick.
Okay, tell me about the UPS.
The UPS company.
What do we got?
The UPS company. All right. So, they are having their largest layoff in their entire 116-year existence.
Okay.
So this is interesting to me because we're not just talking layoffs here. So over the last I guess it was 30, whatever it was, 4,000 people lost their jobs directly related to the adoption of AI in the workplace.
Really?
Excuse me, I'm dying here. I need some water. So UPS is going through a layoff, and they are stating directly, it's directly because of their adoption of technology, AI in the workforce. Now, sound the alarms.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, bad look, all that stuff. Yeah. Okay, you can get into the argument. I've seen debates or arguments in Ford brought in the machines, and they still have. I get it, right? Like, you innovate, you need to scale up. I get it. Okay, so what I really liked about this, in the same article, it gave examples of companies like IBM and Intel, who together, different numbers, of course, but together, they've pledged about 30 million people before 2030 to skill the people in AI, how to work with AI, how to use AI in the job. So not their employees, but not just their employees, actually in the workforce, just upskilling people on how to work and leverage with AI. So it's estimated that over the next 10 years, roughly 95 million people will go through some form of AI upskilling in the workforce.
If you don't do it on your own, and you're expecting the business to do it for you.
Right.
It's all about literacy. It's all about having some form of literacy. And again, getting back to the story you brought up earlier about ChatGPT, if you're not using it, you should be fired. If you're not increasing your literacy about AI and Gen AI, that's on you.
Yeah, no, absolutely is, and
I'm glad that companies are tackling it. Yeah,
yeah, I love that these larger companies are stepping in and saying, like, "Hey, look, we're basically what they're saying, and it's a smart move. What they're saying is, okay, we're building this crap. Like, we're going to be power. Like, our companies run. We're the ones behind this, right? We also need you to work for us, so we're just going to go and get you skilled up.
Yeah, I like that. All right, I got three. Research three R's for you, and I'm going to go through them really quickly. Work Tech, which is our friend George LaRock, just did a Q1 report on the amount of funding that was in just those 3 months, and it was over $1 billion.
Ooh.
Now, so you can go to onework.com, and then you can sign in and get the report and all that stuff.
Nobody gave us money.
No. The key is, for as you listen to this, the key is follow the money. That's why investments, that's why we talk so much about funding and acquisitions and things like that, because as a practitioner, you might not care, but you should care, because where people are making investments, it'll end up impacting you.
Right.
Maybe months, maybe years, but it's a leading indicator. So that's that. You got any commentary on that? Are we good?
No, that's a lot of money. I'm going to have to go look at it and
that's a billion,
the money
baby.
And see where it's at. Yeah.
So, second thing, this is from livecareer.com. This is a report, Fears and Remote Work. At first, when I read it, I thought fear of remote work. No, it's fears and remote work. 4,000 respondents. So, pretty good size of data pool. Let me read you 2 points from it. 43% of workers say that they're more afraid of working in an office full time than losing their romantic relationship or getting divorced.
Wait, hold on. Rewind that.
So 43%
of working in an office. Yeah. I have a fear of waking up, but I don't sleep all goddamn day.
43% of workers say they are more afraid of working in an office full time than losing a romantic relationship or getting divorced. So either they have shitty relationships and they just
don't care.
They don't care, or this is a legit 43%. Man, that's a big number out of 4,000.
How do you fear working in an office? Are you sure you read the title right?
I swear to God, I had to go back and read it like five times because, yes, It's at livecrew.com. Fantastic. Go look it because they have other ones too. I'll read the next one because I just think it's funny. 53% fear the prospect of full-time office work more than climate change.
Wait, so this is a separate report?
No, this is back to a live career. This is like I was going to get to data points. So people care about climate change. Check. That 53% of people fear more of full-time office work than they do climate change.
Huh.
Right? So let that – again, go and download the report. The reason we do this is to find these things so that you can go and do your own analysis. But we want you to go and do this. Now, Ryan, if I – this is the next story. So hit the button.
I'm still trying. My head still hurts from the last one.
So if I were to say cyber loafing, what would you say?
Yeah. That's what I would probably
You got nothing?
No, I got nothing.
So sciencedirect.com has a report. It's actually a study. It's an academic study. The effects of sanctions and stigmas on cyber loafing. So this is basically hybrid, remote, or at work. So they don't bifurcate. But they do bifurcate in terms of the things you do online. Viewing pornography, managing finances, and shopping at work were rated as abusive. Emailing and social networking at work were rated as not abusive. So again, like what you do when it's work, again, whether or not you're remote, hybrid, or at the office, great. The study, you're not doing work, so you're doing something else on your phone, on your device, whatever. You're cyber loafing. I got to say that word more cyber times than once. You are cyber loafing.
I feel like this is the section where we build t-shirts. We create t-shirts. Yeah. Sell them.
Are you a cyber loafer? Great. So the thing is the study itself then bifurcates all the different things that you could do to cyber loaf and then makes the determination of which ones are more egregious than the others, which I find fascinating. But go look at the study, and I think we're going to hear cyber loafing more often.
Well, we will now.
Yeah.
I just want to get into your browser search bar, and I want to see how you're finding this stuff. I don't know that I actually want to.
No, you don't. Seriously, don't ask. You don't want to see how the sausage is made. That's about it. All
right. So I was reading this thing the other day on employment law, which is certainly not my favorite thing to read.
It's becoming. You're starting to become an expert here.
It's becoming interesting. Yeah. The more I read, the more I'm like, oh, what am I missing all my life? It's like reading Harry Potter, which I never read. So, all right. Did you know this? Well, you're going to say yes. So I'll just say, yes, you do. 88% of disputes are considered settled before a trial is needed in the workplace.
Oh, 100%. See, I'm shocked that that number is not higher.
Yeah. So
companies don't want that shit to see the light of day.
Right. So this is kind of like companies saying, you know what?
Mm-mm.
We know you're full of shit, but
yeah. We'll write $2 million check.
We're just going to get rid of this. Right. That's exactly what's happening.
Think of it. Think of the math that's being done behind that. So $2 million in customer retention or the lack of acquisition, et cetera, morale, like all of that stuff. Or, you know, Billy gets a $2 million check and it gets an NDA and it's gone.
Yeah.
So I think the 12%. On that 88 is the ones where they think, A, it's not going to damage us. B, we can win the case.
Right. And it's just, let's go and get it done. So so in this report, there are 10. I'm not going to go through all 10. But there are 10 trends that came out on top in this survey to watch. The top four, which I think are pretty common sense to us, discrimination and harassment.
Yeah,
pay issues. Okay, so pay equity trends, wage, hourly disputes, wage for hourly wage, employee classifications. That was interesting for me. So 37% said that employee classifications were likely to bring litigation risk. And so this is specifically tied to gig workers and freelancers. How do we classify them in the employee population? And then disability accommodations, which I thought would be higher. I thought that would be a little higher.
We haven't even tackled neurodivergent
accommodations. They didn't specifically call that out in there.
That number probably will hit the list.
Yeah.
And they might throw it under disability, but, you know, that's incorrectly placed. But, yeah, that tracks for me.
Yeah.
I got 7 funding. This has been a heavy week in funding. 7 funding sources. Do you have some in funding?
I do. I have a couple funding. Yeah.
Okay. You want me to rattle through a couple?
And yeah. Why don't you just rattle through, because you probably got the same, and I'll give you my love on them.
All right. Homebase raises $60 million. Series D to fuel innovation. You can find out on Piro Newswire. So they already currently have over 100,000 small businesses that this software helps them manage their hourly team. And you and I don't see a lot of tech that's targeted directly at the SMB level. So I love that. I think it's good for them and their customers, good for Homebase. It's hard to raise money. But, that's the bit.
Yep.
All right. Sesco, S-E-S-O, Sesco. Inks $20 million to address U.S. farm labor shortages. This was at impactalpha.com. So you go find it there. And when I read that, I thought to myself, when was the last time I thought about farm labor or farm talent? Right? So when was the last time? Or ever?
I did when I started to do my taxes, because it asked about non-farm wage. But that was it.
Other than that, right?
Other than that, nothing.
Think about, like, right now we're in kind of an anti-immigration kind of climate. Yeah. I don't really care about your politics, but it's one of those deals.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone's got to pick the fucking tomatoes.
Yeah.
Right? So I this is one why I think that this is so fascinating. This is a company that's actually trying to fix that and help bring talent to that particular market. So good for them. All right. This one goes Modal, M-O-D-A-L, raises $25 million to train corporate workers on data and AI. This is the story that you talked about of like literacy. And this is at TechCrunch, so you can just go look up Modal on TechCrunch. But what's fascinating is it's learning plus data, or learning about data, it equals literacy. What I found the most fascinating about this is the two co-founders were ex-Udemy executives, the president and the CEO. So the president and the CEO went off, and now they created Modal to train people on data and AI. And so they know how to do learning. Like, that's done. Now it's just a matter of... That's their field. That's what they're good at. So keep an eye on that, because as a company, you might want to look at some of the content for your own, you know, for your own... You might want to look at that for your own, you know, LMS or whatever, to then start pushing that into, like we said earlier in the program, increase literacy.
Yeah,
it increased literacy in particular. So, why don't you go and give us a couple of yourself?
Well, Modal was one of them.
Damn it!
Yep.
Did you have any different takes on it though?
No, you know it's. So I didn't go too far into it. I mean, everything that you said, yes, and I couldn't help but think money follows money. That was kind of like where I was.
Fair.
That's all I got. I mean, everything you said is there, but I'll let you keep going, and all I'm right. gonna hit buttons.
All right, sounds good. Team building platform Confetti raises $16 million, trusted by Apple, Google, Microsoft, large company. Where I found this was globalvillagespace.com. And think of Confetti as a platform that enables companies to do virtual team building experiences, virtual games, interactive games, activities like baking and cocktail making. Like, you can go back to the pandemic and think of all that stuff that people did. Confetti does it all, like soup to nuts. And so they manage the entire process, all the way supplies, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. So they got some money. And, you know, I thought of Julie, the cruise director from Love Boat on steroids. So again, large companies, I mean, they pretty much say that in the release. Apple, Google, Microsoft, these aren't small companies,
right?
But they need to engage their workers in a different way. They need to engage their talent. They hire confetti, and then they basically pick through the different things that they'd like to do for their employees, or do they let the employees drive it? I think it's right. Great. I didn't even know the company existed. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great. It's classified as a team building platform.
Right.
I didn't even know confetti existed. And so I'm happy for them and their customers. And I think it's just a cool play. I got three more to go. Do you have any?
No, I'm out with funding. You're okay. All funding today. You take.
Well, it's just
all
a lot
funding.
Of funding this week. A lot of funding this week. Pigment. And you read that right. Pigment raised $145 million.
Million dollars.
Million. $145 million to help businesses build strategic plans. I found this on Bulletin SF. That's the Made in San Francisco site. So if you ever go there, all they do is talk about San Francisco. But Pigment. Here's what their game is to basically use AI to intuitively and intelligently build and adapt strategic plans. Right. So strategic plans are usually not archaic, but they're static. So
it's a Google Doc, yeah.
It's a Google Doc, right? This is going to be, with the use of AI, real-time strategic planning. So as one thing over here changes, this thing over here changes. So
that's interesting.
That's just fascinating. Now, what I thought about it as I read the article, I'm like, how soon before that tackles workforce planning?
Right.
Because workforce planning has never been done well. And so if you've now got AI in your strategic plan, it goes to think that you're going to have it in your talent plan or workforce plan.
At some point, I would assume, I don't know if this platform does that,
right,
but
right.
At some point, something will, you have this change here. This is what happens here.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It's really
$145 million.
Somebody thought it was a big
check, baby.
somebody thought it was worth the money.
Somebody got a Maserati. That's what I read. So Italian startup Steps Connect picks up €1 million to find candidates quickly. So you can find this on www.eu-startups.com. And so what I liked about this particular site, because you and I could go build a recruiting application like over the weekend. And so that's not newsworthy for me. But this one specifically does two things that are interesting to me. Gen Z and millennials. They focus just on that talent. They don't care about any of the other talent that's out there. They're focused on that talent. And vertical fields of hourly. So retail, hospitality, et cetera. So they're looking at, okay, this talent, these verticals, and they got €1 million, which is probably that's probably 700,000. But I like the play because they're looking at talent in a way that, instead of generalizing talent and saying, okay, come here and do this,
right?
We don't really care about your age or any of this other stuff or what industries. They're niche-y. Like you and I talked about, like old job boards, like accounting jobs in Vermont.
Right, right.
The only people that are going to care about that are accountants in Vermont.
People, yeah.
Right. So this is different, though, because this is looking at the generational parts of things. So anyhow, take a look at them and see what you think. Steps Connect. Okay, the last one I have on funding, that's our F for the folks listening to the show. Home from College is the name of the company, by the way. Home from College raises $5.4 million in funding to build Gen Z-focused job site and hiring platform. This is on PRNewswire.com, so go to PRNewswire. And at first glance, first of all, $5 million to basically build a job, you know, job site and a hiring platform. So something for both the candidates and for corporate. And again, it's there's a theme in today where it's like meet the talent where they are. Gen Z searches for jobs differently. They think about jobs differently. So the models, we used to say the containers of yesterday are not the containers of today, will be the containers of tomorrow. So it's fascinating to me. That's $5.4 million. Okay, that's a check. That's a Maserati. Mm-hmm. Yep, done.
I get disinterested when I hear the word job board.
Haven't we done this? Aren't we over this? Yeah.
I mean, no knock on the. I mean, congrats on the funding, and I love 100%. To see actually what they're doing because it's interesting. But when I think inherently in my mind, when I hear job board, I go to
you think of Monster,
career builder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, the title that drew me in was Home from College. So wait a minute, why are you home from?
All right, once you leave,
Yeah, this is I'm gonna channel my father.
Yeah.
In fact, the comic Earthquake has a bit on this, where he says, "Once you turn 18, I go from being your father to your advisor."
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a great comedic bit because he basically says, when your son or daughter says something, you say, well, what I would advise you to do.
What I advise you to do is get the hell out of my house.
So home from college, that freaked me out just there. I read that and I'm like, home from college? Wait a minute, what are we doing here? Yeah. Anyhow, I agree with you about job boards, but for 30 years, we predicted the death of the job board. It's still there.
I don't think it's going away, right? The resume ain't leaving it. The job board ain't leaving it. Like, it's fundamental, right, to the jobs. I get it. It'll be done in a different way. I don't know what that different way is. It hasn't come around yet. I don't think it's a big deal to even talk about, honestly. Like, they're there. Post your job, pay your $300, post your job, and get some candidates.
I think they're going to do more video. I haven't dug into it. We'll go look at the platform. But I think they're going to do more video, like TikTok job ads.
Yeah.
Like that type of stuff that makes sense to me, but it's meeting the talent where they are. However you do that, however you leverage that. Yeah, that's the key.
And make it simple, please. For the love of God, make it simple to apply. Like just make it simple. All right.
Did we barf?
We're done, man. Yeah, I think we went through it. We got everything in on time this time.
Crazy.
We didn't go 3.5 hours. Look at that. So
we could have.
We could have. Yeah. If you're still watching, if you're still listening, please subscribe. Please check us out everywhere online, socially.
Do you feel like you're begging for money?
I am. Please.
NPR does this bit like once a, I don't know how often, and it's their rate. They raise money. So it's it's for a week, and they're stopped down, and every commercial is like, all right, on the campaign.
Yeah, PBS does a whole thing. Yeah.
Dude, I can't listen. That week, I don't listen to NPR. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah. If I want to give you money, I'll give you money.
Yeah.
To get a mug?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need a mug. I'm good.
Yeah. For $100, you can get the Susie Orman CD.
Exactly. No, I'm good, man. But when you do that, subscribe and you know,
it's like what
share.
It feels like. Please subscribe to us,
please.
No, but if you see us out there, at least say hi. Like, we're not bad people.
Come on now.
All right, we'll see you next time.